Amen. Thank you, Sister Joy. Let me get all this stuff out of the way. Open your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 11. They called in the third string tonight. Everybody else is gone. Amen. Only a few of us left around here today. Be in prayer for Brother Parsons again. Pastor Carter mentioned this morning how hard he's been working, and that's true. You know, Wednesday night, he had drove all night long. He only had a couple hours sleep during the day and then came up here Wednesday night. I mean, his heart is here in the church, and we need to be praying for him and asking God to strengthen him and encourage him and keep him going, because, folks, you know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, Dr. Carter has built, through God, God has used him to build a tremendous ministry here. I mean, just absolutely tremendous. It reaches around the world. And what we don't understand sometimes is that Dr. Carter built that over a period of time. You know, so he knew every aspect of everything that was going on. You know, he kind of grew with the ministry. Well, Pastor Parsons was dumped in it. Now, he had a few years to get used to it. You know, the pastor's been training him. But it's not the same thing. And it's a huge ministry. You know, a lot of people don't know we have a radio station. Everybody here know that we got a radio station? Amen? Are you still listening to rock and roll? Amen? Now, I know some of you do. Don't say you don't. I saw some of you uptown wearing a mask. Don't say you don't, because I've seen you. There's a lot of ministry here, and it's just a tremendous job. And I'm going to tell you, I think he has done an awesome job. I mean, his preaching has just gotten better and better. I mean, he has just been touched by the best. Amen. And the Lord has blessed him, and we want to ask you to continue to pray for him. And I see the Donaldsons sitting back there tonight. How are y'all doing? They've been 3 or 4 weeks, been out sick. Glad to have you back with us. And also tonight, my wife's out. She didn't come this morning or tonight. She knew I was preaching tonight, so she didn't want to come. But now she'd been fighting some kind of a head cold, and she's got the runny nose and all that. And I told her she'd be better off just stay home. Don't bring it up here and give it to me. And nobody else wants it. Amen. And we got a few other people out with the same thing. So y'all be in prayer with them. And I did tell you John chapter 11, right? And we're going to get into that here in a little bit. But what I want to talk to you about tonight is getting it right. Getting it right. Now, I don't know about you, but have you noticed today everybody's been a little preoccupied? Have you noticed that? I mean, when we come to sing, we had to run down here to catch the piano. You know, just run. This morning, it was like a three-ring circus up here. I mean, it's like nobody knew what to do. It just happens that way sometimes. And I've been that way all day long. I mean, I drove a bus today, and brother was nice to me. He kept telling me, here, here, here. Instead of going, you know. Oh, here, you meant. You know, yeah, here. It's just preoccupied. And I just noticed it's not just me. It's everybody seems to be preoccupied. I'm praying that the Lord to come back. Amen?
Amen.
And I figure if everybody's preoccupied, something's fixing to happen. So anyhow, keep our eyes towards heaven, all right? Now, I also want to thank you for all the prayers again and the cards and everything for my mother-in-law who has gone to heaven. Some say she's graduated and passed on to heaven. I say she moved out. And I'll tell you why I say that. I told a couple of ladies back there, they said, oh, we're sorry about your mother-in-law. I've been trying to get rid of her for 30 years, you know? And some people get upset about that. But honestly, I've been trying to get rid of her for 30 years. Now, she's been a blessing to me for many, many years. I loved her dearly. I'm going to miss her, but I don't sorrow for her. And if I'm wrong in that, I'm sorry, but I don't. You know, I believe what I read when I read my Bible.
Amen.
And that's what chapter 11 is going to teach us a little bit about tonight. I believe what I read, and I believe my God. And if I didn't, I wouldn't be up here, folks. I didn't start into the ministry till I was 47 years old. So I'll let you know, I'll apologize right now. If I say anything to offend you, I'm sorry. I'll just tell you right now. Because I'm probably as direct as it gets, okay? I don't have a great big education. I'm not the smartest bub in the box. You know, I worked all my life. You know, I just like most of you do, I got up every morning and I worked a job. And I worked in the world. And the Lord had called me to the ministry probably when I was about 20-something years old. And I ran. It scared me to death. I ran. And I run from the Lord for years. And finally, at 47, he pinned me down, and I couldn't stand it anymore. And I surrendered. But I think about that now. I want to cry when I think about it now. I look back now, and I see all the years that I could have been serving my God, doing things for his glory, to glorify him. And I wasted all those years. But folks, I want to say something to you tonight. It's been 2,000 years since the crucifixion. Amen. And we're still not getting it right. And I'm just going to give you a small example of what I mean, a couple of them. My wife bought a mug the other day. As a matter of fact, she had it, a friend of ours made it for her, a thermos mug. She had one she's left here in the seat and somebody stole it in a church. You believe that? I don't know what she done with it. But she lost her mug. So she got a new one. She had this lady to make her mug, and she told her exactly what she wanted on it. And it came in, and it's a beautiful mug. And she showed it to me, and she was so proud of it. And she had John 3:16 put on it. And that's the first thing I did was I read the verse. And I told her, I said, "It's pretty, but you can't use it." She's like, "What do you mean?" I said, "Have you read the verse?" And, "Well, no." "Well, yeah, I read it. It's John 3:16. I said, "Then read it to me. Read it to me off the jug." And she read it to me, and it's NIV. Okay? And she says, "Well, does it really matter?" "It does to me." Yeah. Amen. And and I know, you know, none of you would say anything about it. I know you wouldn't. So if she brings it, it's pretty, it's pink. Read it, please, and let her know. It's but she paid a lot of money for it, so she was just brokenhearted. And the reason for that is because they didn't get it right. See, a friend of ours, they're Catholic. Now, you know, I'm witnessing to them, and in God's timing, prayerfully, pray for them. Hopefully they'll get saved. But, you know, folks, they didn't get it right. And we didn't think about that because most everybody we hang around with is independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist. So when you say, you know, we want to put John 3:16, you expect John 3:16 out of the good old King James Version. Amen. Your mind goes nowhere else. Amen. You think John 3:16. I mean, so we were shocked. But I just had to read it, you know. Popped her bubble. She was so upset. But let me give you another example of getting things right. Let's just say there's a drunkard walking up the road, and he's staggering his way down, and there's a church up on a hill, and he hears music playing. And out of curiosity, he wobbles his way up, and he makes his way to the church. And he comes in the back door back there and comes in, and he takes a seat. And the preacher's up here, gets going to singing, stops, and the preacher gets to preaching, and he's just blowing it, but he's just preaching, getting on it good and hot and heavy. But he's preaching out of NIV, okay? But he's preaching salvation. He's preaching Jesus, but he's preaching it out of an NIV. You do know some of the words in the NIV are correct, right? When they go to give the invitation, that man gets up, walks down that aisle, comes down here to the front, and accepts Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. I want to ask you a question. Is he saved? Now, when he leaves there, First thing, a lot of people will tell him, but they were preaching out of the NIV. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not about the NIV, amen, but I'm about getting it right. Let's not be a Pharisee about the situation. That man walked in the door lost as a goose egg. He don't know the difference between the NIV and the King James. He had probably maybe never even seen a Bible. Maybe the first time he's ever been in the church. But he gave his life to Jesus. Amen. When he walked out, or if he stays in the church, then he's taught bad doctrine. Okay? That man is just as saved as you and I are. Amen. But he's taught bad doctrine. And that's what we do today in a lot of churches. We're still getting it wrong after all these years. We're still not teaching the proper doctrine. And I can say right here among us, you know, folks, when I say something about my mother-in-law, I was trying to get rid of her for 30 years, you know, hey, she's gone to heaven now. And I don't hurt over that. It's because I believe I've got it right. Amen. See, I believe that I'm going to see her again. And that's the reason I say she's moved out. Now, you know, people say, hey, she's gone to heaven. I say she's moved out. My luck, God's going to give me a mansion with a mother-in-law wing on it. Okay? She's been living with us for about 20 years off and on. She'll go visit her son for a couple of years, and she can't put up with him no longer than that. She comes back. So she must be all right here, okay? But I just know I'm going to get a mother-in-law wing on my mansion up there. So I think she's moved out, and she's moving back in later on, okay? So, but then I love my mother-in-law. I loved her dearly. You know, but I felt the same way about my father when my father passed. Do I mourn for him? Yes, I do. You know, I miss my father. I love my father. I loved him dearly. And but I know where he's at. Amen. See, I believe that I've got it right. I believe that my Bible teaches me that they're in heaven and I'm going to see them again. Amen. So with that in mind, let's look at chapter 11. And I didn't really know exactly where to jump in here, so we're just going to jump in at verse 1, and we'll get through it as far as we can, as fast as we can. It says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the son of the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now, you see right there where it says a certain man. I got to wipe my glasses. I can't hardly see the words. You see where it says a certain man. And then it points out that it's Mary's and Martha's brother. Obviously, they're wanting you to know exactly who this is so that there's no mistaking later on as we get through the chapter. We want to know that this is Lazarus that we're speaking of. It says, verse 3, therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, I don't know about you, but the way I read that, it sounds to me like they're trying to push him in a hurry. They're wanting him to hurry up. Now, if it were you and it was your brother or your sister, and there was something that you could do to help them, you would want to hurry along to get there to tend to them. So it sounds to me that's what they're doing here. They're setting Jesus up. Hey, look, we need you to hurry along. Now, they're not telling him that, but they're sure pressuring him, aren't they? When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, by reading that, we now know and understand that Jesus already knows what's happening. He knows what the future is fixing to bring. He knows exactly what's going on. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. What? He stayed there for 2 more days. Now, you would think that Jesus loving Lazarus the way he did, that you think he would hurry along to take care of business up there. But he didn't. And when you read that, you're kind of like, well, wait a minute. If he loved him, why would he not hurry along? because he's got it right. Amen. He's the Lord. He knows exactly what's going on. Now, verse 6. When he had heard that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walketh in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. That's talking about the lost. And that's not going to be our message tonight, so we're not going to stay there too long. But it's talking about the difference between the saved and the lost. You have the light and you have darkness. If you're lost, you're walking in darkness. So what Jesus was telling them, hey, these people are walking in darkness. They need to get saved, don't they? They need to know about what's going on. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 11. These things saith he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep, because they wasn't paying attention. I remember one time I was sitting right out here, and Dr. Carter preached a message, and he said that he wished he could just open your head and just pour the knowledge in. Just pour it right in there. You know what I mean? And I was sitting right there. I was in school at that time. I was in college here. And I was thinking at the same time, I wish you could too. you're studying. I don't know about you. Sometimes the harder I studied, I felt like I was getting further and further backwards, you know. And the truth of the matter is, as you learn, folks, you begin to realize how much you don't know. You just begin to realize how little we actually know. But that's what was going on here. And I read that the other night, and I started laughing. My wife come by, and she said, what are you laughing about? And I read this verse to her. And I could just see Dr. Carter, you know, saying he want to pour it in. But folks, can you imagine the man being up here for 50 years preaching, and some of the same people, and they still don't have it right? Can you imagine? He was preaching on being vexed this morning. Can you imagine how that makes a preacher feel when for 50 years you preach and you preach and you teach and you teach, and it just seems like sometimes nothing's happening? Well, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. Because it's easy for us to sit out there and look at different preachers and the way they preach or what they preached on. And it's easy for us to ridicule, and it's easy for us to knock what they're doing or what they said, or they didn't say this word right, or they didn't say that word right, or they mispronounced that name. It's easy to do all that. But this is what I want you to do tonight. And the reason I'm asking you to do this, I made announcements earlier. And some of you don't know what the announcements were. And I know that because I made them. And I don't know what some of them were. You know, when's camp? I'll have 50 people ask me, when's camp start? Well, we've been announcing it every day, right? Every Sunday, Sunday night, Wednesday, we announce it. But this is what it is. We come in here and we're listening with our ears, but we're not paying attention. And we do the same thing during the preaching service. We're so used to coming in and sitting down, taking a seat. We all sit in the same seats. You know, that's how you know that somebody's not here. You look, oh, empty seat. Well, they're not here tonight. Okay? Because we're creatures of habit. So we come in and we sit and we open our ears, but we're closing our hearts to God. I'm going to ask you tonight to listen with your heart instead of your ears. Because if you'll listen with your heart, God will speak to you. God will talk to you. He'll take a message. He'll take a bad preacher and give you a good message. Amen. That's the truth. If we listen to what God's got to say, get all the ridicule out of our mind. Just clear our heads. Open your heart and listen to what Jesus is saying to you. Folks, we got to get it right. They were just singing about America. Folks, we're in trouble. It's a sinking ship. And it's our fault. You know, people don't want to see it that way, but it is our fault. It's easy for us to blame the world. But we came here as pilgrims, as what? Christians. We started this nation. We founded this nation. God gave us this country as Christians, as believers. But over the years, we've gotten so far from the truth anymore. I see people hurt and sorrow when somebody passes or dies, you know. Why? What's all the sorrow? Do you not believe what you're teaching? Do you not believe what you read? See, my God, according to my God, my mother-in-law's not dead. She's more alive today than she's ever been. See, our problem is we can't see it. We can't touch it. We can't taste it or smell it. So therefore, we don't know anything about it. But what I'm saying to you is, it's real. It's real. It's real. And if it's not real, why do we come in here on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights? Why do we spend our week out knocking doors, soul winning? Why do we do any of that if it's not real?
Amen.
If we don't believe it, why do we bother with it? Amen. See, I believe that there's a heaven. I believe that there's a God, and I believe that my God has got my mother-in-law in his presence. Now, what brought this on to me was my mother-in-law said something before she died. Because, see, my wife, being a good daughter, was going to ask her mama one more time, "Mama, are you saved? Do you know without a doubt that you're going to heaven?" And she looks at her and she says, "He saves me every day." Wrong. 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 He saves you one time. You're saved every day. You're saved today, tomorrow, forever. But you don't get saved every day. Amen. And see, that bothered my wife. I told her, I said, "Look, she's on all kinds of drugs. You know, they had her doped up because she had gallbladder problems and she couldn't breathe. So they've given her medicine." But that little thing that she said bothered my wife tremendously. Folks, we got to get it right. See, the little things that we do every day of our life, the little things that we do matter. Because somebody somewhere is watching you. And little things that you say matter. When you go out to a restaurant, I was out, I think it was yesterday evening, I believe it was. Wife and I, we were having supper. And they brought the food out and I asked a blessing. And I seen a couple sitting over across the table pointing. They're praying. She acted like it was a disease. And when I pray, I pray out loud. I'm not ashamed. Just like Dr. Carter was talking about today. I'm not ashamed of it. They don't like it, they can leave. That's the way I feel about it. I ask my God to bless my food that he giveth to me. And if anybody around me doesn't like it, I really don't care. Now, some folks, you see, you know, they'll make good of it. But most of the time, somebody wants to ridicule you. But folks, if more of us did that, you wouldn't see them pointing you out.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? You know, and even he was talking about being vexed this morning. Oh, my soul, I was getting vexed listening to him talking about being vexed. When you start talking about COVID and being vexed, my blood boils. You know, let me tell you something. If you feel safe wearing a mask, put it on. But it's not helping you.
Amen.
Okay? It's not helping you. COVID is a microorganism. That mask, if you look through it in a microscope, is just like looking through a crocheted blanket. Have you ever seen one? You can stick your fingers right through it, okay? It's just like that. It's not stopping anything. Now, if you're sick, coughing and sneezing, put one on. If you have to go out, maybe you won't sneeze on somebody. But what makes me mad, I don't care if you wear a mask. I could care less. Cover your whole head with a sock. I don't care. But don't ask me to do it. Because, see, I'm not going to join in your little party of stupidity. I'm not getting in there with you.
Amen.
See, that makes my blood boil. You go out to a restaurant, and they got this table open, this table closed, this table open. Okay, so the germs aren't going to get from here to here when I got the same waitress. Okay? She picks up this glass, puts it here, and she goes, she comes right back to the other. Hey, she's spreading germs everywhere. And then she's got this mask on. She's just like this. And they're doing this. Now, she's been breathing in this thing for hours. Can I get you something? Nope. Okay? It's the stupidity of it. It's the stupidity. That's what vexes me. I get I'm on my blood a boil. I get so upset when I go out. My wife don't want to go anywhere with me because I can't keep quiet. I'm not one of those. You know, you go uptown. I'm just going to tell you right now. You go to a restaurant that's drive-through only. I'm not going. They will close up before I will go. I will eat bologna sandwiches the rest of my life before I will go through a restaurant that is drive-through only. Folks, the governor have lifted everything. There's no mask mandate. There's no restaurants aren't mandated in any way. But they're saving money. They don't have to run the air conditioner. They don't have to hire somebody to clean the tables. There's less napkins. You're going to get one drink instead of a refill. Folks, you're being duped in every way you can think of. And people just keep right on going. And Starbucks. I'll say Starbucks because I hate the company. They're against everything I believe. And Christians will get in line to pay $12 for a cup of Starbucks coffee. Shame on you. Shame on you. I wouldn't give $12 for a cup of coffee from anywhere, let alone Starbucks. But I'm just saying, folks, we got to get it right. What good is it? You say you're a Christian, you come to church, you go through all the motions, then when you walk out the door, you're just like anybody else in the park. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir here. This is the cream of the crop. I understand that. But we still need to get it right. Amen. And we don't need to be Pharisees about getting it right. Amen. Okay? I mean, we all have issues and we all have problems. Right. But we need to get it right. Now I got to remember where I was. So I can get it right. Amen. Let's look at verse 14. Then said Jesus, back up. 13, howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now I know that's the way Dr. Carter feels all the time. Because he preaches and preaches and preaches, and it's like he's dead. What part do you not understand? That's what I see here. And now think about it. His disciples are walking with Jesus. They're walking with him. You and I are 2,000 years down the road. How far back do you think we are? Oh, folks, we got to get it together. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go into him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, I probably said that wrong, pray for me, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Amen. Pour it in. He needs it. You see what I'm saying? He just can't get it right. They're right there and they just can't get it right. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. That's about 2 miles. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to confront them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Now, right there, she's exercising faith, isn't she? She's saying, Lord, I know that if you'd have been here, he'd have been alive. He wouldn't have died. See, that shows you she still hadn't got it, has she? She's still not getting it. She's still not understanding it. But But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Listen to this. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Still ain't getting it, is she? Just not getting it. And whosoever, no, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he what?
Live.
And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Folks, 2,000 years down the road, and we still don't believe it. If we believed it, why did so many Christians throw their mask on and climb in a hole and quit going to church? Folks, see, if we believed all of this, if we believed everything the way we say that we do, we wouldn't be living in fear.
Amen.
I got a verse I want to read to you, if I can find it here. I had to type my notes out in green. Could I run out of ink? So, you know, it's hard to read. 2 Corinthians 12:21 says, I know a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. That was Paul talking to us. Paul was saying he couldn't tell whether he was in the body or out of the body. Folks, do you believe that? If you believe that, death means nothing, absolutely nothing. You step from one point in your life to another.
Amen.
See, just because we can't see the soul and the spirit right now, we act like we don't believe it. And we say we do. And you understand, our salvation hinges on what we believe.
Amen.
We say that we believe it, then we go live a different life. Then we can't figure out why our children aren't in church. We can't figure out why our country is going down the tubes. It's going down the tubes because we're not taking a stand for what we say we believe.
Amen.
Folks, we got to get it right.
Amen.
Let's skip over to verse 46. Oh, actually 45. And many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. That is why he allowed this to take place. See, it's not always about us, is it?
Amen.
See, sometimes it's about what God's got planned. He used the resurrection of Lazarus for these people to be saved.
Amen.
And then look at verse 46. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. How many people walk out the church door every day waiting to do the same thing? They can't wait to get out of here to ridicule somebody.
Right.
They're Pharisees.
Amen.
It's the same thing. Or how about the guy preaching out of the NIV? Hey, he's preaching out the wrong Bible. I'll tell you straight up.
Amen.
But that doesn't stop the man that come down the aisle from getting saved. We don't have to be a Pharisee about it. Do we go along with it? No. Do you take a stand against it? Yes. But you don't have to be a Pharisee.
Yeah, right.
You see what I'm saying? We don't have to knock somebody down to build yourself up.
Amen.
God will do the lifting.
Amen.
You just preach what God tells you to preach and be what God asks you to be. Then gathered the chief priest and the Pharisees a council and said what do we? For this man doth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men, wouldn't that be a shame? All men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. Folks, there's your Pharisees right there. How many churches today are still teaching the very same thing? How many churches today are still trying to be priests that you need to go see?
Right.
Instead of lifting up Jesus. Trying to scare you into doing right, keeping the law. Folks, they still haven't got it right. They're still not teaching the right things. They're not teaching salvation by grace.
Amen.
2,000 years later, let me tell you something. If you're in this building tonight and you're lost, Or if you're here tonight and you haven't been trusting in the Lord Jesus, if you think that coming here tonight is going to get you to heaven, you're going to wake up in hell.
Amen.
Coming to church is not going to get you to heaven.
That's right.
Being a good person is not going to get you to heaven.
Amen.
Tithing is not going to get you to heaven.
Amen.
The only thing that's going to get you to heaven is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you tonight, folks, all around the land, all around this beautiful country that we live in, people are being duped. People are being taught lies. They're not being taught the truth. They're not being told the truth.
Amen.
People are walking out of churches every day and never hearing the gospel.
Right.
They're not hearing about the blessed hope.
Right.
They're not hearing the good news.
Amen.
They're hearing whatever some guy wants them to hear to get a paycheck next week.
Amen.
That's what they're hearing. Folks, it's we got to get it right.
Amen.
And we're the leaders. The Independent Fundamental Baptist, we're the leaders. People don't like us, but we're the leaders. We're still teaching the truth. Folks, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, don't leave this building lost.
Amen.
And if you're here tonight and you've been coming to church for 40 years, but you've never, ever really got it right. You've never got it right. Get it right tonight. Come down here to this altar and get it right between you and God.
Amen.
Accept the Lord Jesus before it's too late. I believe the rapture's coming. I believe it's coming soon. There's no reason for anybody in this building or anybody that's listening on this radio. There's no reason for any of you to go to hell. Stop listening to the Pharisees and listen to what Jesus said. Believest thou this? Folks, it's real, and we need to make it real.
Amen.
Let's stand to our feet quietly. I'm going to ask the folks to play for us. We're going to give a short invitation. And if you'd like to come down here tonight, maybe you need to change a membership or get baptized, or maybe you want to accept Christ. Come on down here to the front.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender. Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender humbly at His feet. I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me now. I surrender.
Thank you for being here tonight, and be continued in prayer for Pastor Parsons, and I pray that you have a good 4th of July. I know they're having fireworks somewhere tonight, so most of you'll be going or watching on television or something, but and pray for our continued independence and freedom. Amen. Well, let's be dismissed with a word of prayer. Father, we do love you. We thank you for the day. We thank you for your word. And Father, we thank you for the salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus. And Father, we do lift our nation up to you tonight. Father, we ask for its continued liberties and freedoms that we have. Father, we ask your blessings upon it. And as we dismiss tonight, Lord, we pray that you'll take us home safe and bring us back safe during the week. We love you and praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.